Welcome into DC On Screen, a podcast about the DC Universe properties being brought to film and television. I am your host, David Z. Robertson, and this is my co-host, Jason.
Huh?
All right, so we're about to jump into some super spoilery review of Gotham Season 2, Rise of the Villains, the fall finale, Worse Than a Crime. That's episode 11, y'all. This is the last Gotham review I think we're going to do. The last episodic Gotham review we're going to do until February.
I think it is February. Did you check the schedule?
When I watched Gotham tonight, it said Gotham returns in February. So
if we've learned anything, it's that we can't trust the people who actually run Gotham. So what did the internet say?
I felt like I was pretty good with that. They said it comes back in February.
When the show pops up and says Gotham, I don't even believe it's the title anymore.
Yeah. Well, now the Gotham title is all frozen.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what that is, man.
Oh, God. I was so happy. I saw, the kit coming down the street. Is that Firefly?
Oh.
I mean, are they going to go ahead and start bringing people back? It's Mr. Freeze. It's Mr. Freeze. It's Mr. Freeze.
Well, he's not quite Mr. Freeze yet. He's not in the fishbowl. He's a second rate Captain Cold at this point.
Yeah, right. Right.
Looking at him going like,
was he?
Those weren't even proper goggles. I'm pretty sure I saw Mary Kate Olsen wearing those a couple of days ago on social media. She was holding a small dog. I don't know.
Probably.
God.
Don't care. It's Mr. Freeze.
Small dog. Ice gun. Same difference.
You know. It was a quick shot. Could have been a dog, but it was a very cold dog.
Damn it. I thought you were gonna go on your rant about how you hate the phrase, same difference.
No, I go back and forth on that phrase, actually. Right now I'm in one of my wane periods where I don't care as much.
Yeah. So jumping back to the first bit of this episode, how much did you laugh when Alfred jumped into the fridge?
Oh, yeah.
Into the...
Bloody hell.
It was like... It's like Indiana Jones all over again. I'll be damned if they nuke this fridge.
Didn't even occur to me. Look, put it this way. Of all the bitching that we've done about Gotham, it has never fallen that far.
No, it hasn't.
Not even glimpsing the abyss in which that fridge falls out of that, what do you call it? Little nuke town or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know. But, we have a bit of a disagreement, though, because you did not like this episode. You weren't that big on that. I liked this episode.
No, I liked parts of it. Parts I didn't as much. Mainly, I just spent most of it kind of nervously anticipating that we were really wasting our finale and our screen time. And by the way, very expensive screen time. Because they told people, and, you know, it's not a... There's a damn good reason they didn't air it until the last commercial break. But you were going to get 30 seconds of the BVS footage. Or they said new trailer even. Whatever. Who cares? We're all going to show up, right? We're going to flock to it. Man, you can charge the fuck out of people for that.
You really can. Yeah.
And I was worried we were going to be spending all this screen time on Silver St. Cloud. And he gave her the test about, well, you need to show your worth. And I just thought, oh, man. Please don't make this some weird Galavanny prove your worth. I don't care about Silver St. Cloud that much. I just don't. Don't use the fall finale on her. But to be fair, there was finally some worth to it.
There was some worth to it. And I echoed your sentiments through most of the episode where I was just like, oh man, everything that Silver says to Bruce, I'm just going to assume is a lie. Even when she's like, I can't do this, but I'm going to break you out, blah, blah, shoots the dude in the knee. And I'm like, this is still all part of her plan.
Yeah. As a viewer, you're not fooled for 1 second. Which, by the way, another real problem I have with the episode. I think these are the big two. One was, come on, Silver, not that big for me. Other things we could be playing with. Hoping a lot of that is kind of going to go on the back burner so they can set up a whole new thing coming back. We'll see. But
that is definitely what it looks like.
Yeah. It looks like they've kind of wafted into the distance for a little while, and it'll at least take them a minute to revive Galavan, who, by the way, absolutely will be, I believe, a mimicked version of what was he calling himself when he was Batman? Nightfall, blah, all that guy.
Oh, Jean-Paul Valley.
Thank you,
Azrael.
Thank you. I'm thinking we're gonna go for Azrael there. That's my.
I doubt it.
That's my 2 cents.
Seriously.
In the ring. Mostly because I'm thinking it's the most interesting thing you could do, but we'll see. Big problem. I don't like episodes that have an absolutely false It's a false premise. It's quicksand. You're not going to kill Batman. You're just not. So don't give me a ticking clock about midnight with little, you know, tiny bat on the chopping block. It's not going to happen. I don't care. I'm wondering how you're going to get out of it. Sure, but only kind of esoterically. Not really invested.
Look, man, without getting too deep into spoilers for things that I know you haven't seen, I've seen them kill main characters and bring them back with clones and crap on comic book shows. Like, you can get around it, but...
Well, I mean, it's a comic book show. You absolutely can't. We've got a Wong hanging out in the basement. I'm not...
Right.
Or a Strange.
You've got a Wong hanging out in the basement.
Makes more sense if I say a Strange hanging out in the basement.
But yeah, so, I mean, I wouldn't be so... Yeah, and exactly, you've got a Strange hanging out in the basement.
Almost got you.
You did. You've got a Strange hanging out in the basement. There's no... I don't see any reason that they couldn't kill Bruce off and clone him.
No, there's but any see, number that wasn't, of things you can do, but it didn't pull me in. Here's the thing, though. I enjoyed the episode. Those are a little bit bullshit arguments because, A, they did pull Silver St. Cloud right into being something that I finally thought was useful.
They did.
One brief shining moment where she just says stop and really has no idea what her plan is. She's probably about to die, but she says it anyway, and
mm-hmm.
that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then with... Yeah. I know it's the falsity of that. I know it bothers me, but same time, they did. They got in and out of it kind of quickly. Like, they used the scenes to set it up. He's in the prison with her. That's fine. Like, even at the very end, when they do finally storm the castle, mm-hmm. it's over quickly. It's not... They get in and out of it pretty quickly. And they were able to give me a lot of really fun scenes on the way. So, not holding it against them.
Okay. One of the things I really enjoyed about the Silver St. Cloud storyline here, and I agree with you mostly, but...
I don't even agree with me mostly. I just took my own arguments out. I don't care.
I don't feel like there was a few segments where I thought that she was not playing him, and it was when she was like frustratingly telling him, "Dude, stop acting like you're not scared." And he's like, "I'm not. I'm going to see my parents soon." Like,
oh,
you little bastard! I love Bruce so much.
What was the line? I wrote it down. I even wrote that down. Yeah, mostly I feel very alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought, yep, there's another chick in the box. There's one of the pre-Batman traits I expected to see. You're about to die, and you've never felt better.
Right? Man, Bruce is just amazing. And this kid is great.
Oh, yeah.
He even takes pity on... And I love that he said that to her. I love that too, but he takes pity on her and kisses her and tells her he loves her when Galavan is standing there.
Yeah.
But
I mean, he straight I love up that says he did no, that. Like, completely, like, he doesn't even get angry about it. He just explains almost rotely that was a complete setup. I didn't buy that for a second. You know.
Yeah, and he says before that, Silver, I don't love you. I pity you.
Right, God.
I wrote down, Bruce is a bad mother.
I mean, I have the same note, though. I just wrote, I pity you, and thought Bruce is a bad mother.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you remember his favorite animal?
An owl? Yeah.
Yeah. That was worth a good laugh.
That was great.
That'll show up one day.
Yeah. So, jumping back, though, Penguin.
Uh-huh.
I loved his line where he says, that Galavan is a pistol, isn't he?
he's completely crazy and I love it. Just right before he's going out, nope, no chance for failure tonight. Like, he's unflappable, man. He's got a plan. He's at zero lack of confidence. Really liked his attitude.
I loved everything.
This episode. Really did.
Yeah, I loved Gordon and Penguin and... Damn, you know, Edward's just outing himself to everybody, just like, by the way, I'm a bad guy.
Oh, yeah, I love that. He just turned, Enigma? And just turned, hi! Does it worry him at all to be possibly outed to a major detective? Hey, what's up, buddy? Welcome to my house.
Yeah, like literally yesterday, you were worried about running around trying to figure out little stories that you could tell Lee so that you wouldn't be caught, and okay.
I did.
And I felt
that.
Bad for Alfred getting stun gunned.
Oh,
and
yeah. I did. He's just trying to be an honorable, good British man and apologize to a man that he's carjacking. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah, sure. By the way, can I just ask, did you catch something that I didn't? Because I'm confused. What the hell was Silver talking about when she kept insisting that some dolphin couldn't read her mind?
I don't fucking know.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I mean, I know the scene, but I don't know where she was going with that. I kind of...
Yeah. She was very insistent.
She was. And I don't know. I don't know what the moral of that story was for her. I don't know what she was trying to get across. Was she just trying to make herself sound naive and vulnerable? I mean, it's a fine ploy, I guess. But I don't know. I just, as a viewer, I didn't understand what I was supposed to get about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I looked up Silver St. Cloud and whether there's a DC dolphin that can read minds. I don't know. Aquaman references. I don't know. I don't know what it's supposed to mean. It seemed oddly insistent, though. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. The last time I saw Silver was in the books was like in the Smith run. It was either Widening Jar or the other one. I can't remember. And I think they were swimming in the ocean and there were maybe some dolphins. I don't know. That's all I got. At some point, I think Aquaman hears him having sex and is like, gross, and swims away. I don't know. It's.
I'm going to go tell Diana.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I love that Lee was just trashing Penguin, calling him psychotic. And he goes, I can hear you. And she goes, shh, don't speak.
Yeah.
And Penguin, standing there with like a sawed-off shotgun, just drops his head and stands there.
Right, right.
It was amazing.
Right, she'd already,
but Lee pulls the...
She had already kind of walked into the room with like, okay, you're going to go and you're taking these guys? Like, she no intent to respect him whatsoever. And she looks like a sheep in there.
Yeah.
A pregnant sheep.
Yep. I knew she was going to pull that out somewhere.
Right.
I mean, they could either hide it all for the rest of the season or make the character pregnant. And we know they're pretty lazy on the show, so...
Yeah. I don't think they wanted to lose her for the back half of season two. I think they just were... they really need her character, because... And something in the last episode I didn't talk about. Really, really loved up front when he's having this extremely... It's a dark philosophical area between pragmatism and absolute moralism. And man, he's really struggling with that right now. And I've enjoyed watching him struggle with it, but he really takes a minute to kind of talk it out. And she has to be there. Like, she has to be there so we as an audience can see him have these moments. And she has to be there to keep him from going too far. Now, we don't know what her reaction is going to be to the ultimate spoiler of this episode, which was he did pull that trigger.
Yeah.
But I think they just really want her around for it. So they would have been more happy to include a baby in the show than to lose her for the second half of the season.
Yeah.
That'd sure as hell be my take on it.
Now, I really did. I would, if this show could be sort of like the Hateful Eight or something for Gotham, I'd be down if it was like Lucius, Bullock, Penguin, Riddler, and Gordon just running around righting wrongs and wronging rights.
You don't want Gotham, you want Tombstone.
I do want Tombstone, but with these characters.
I understand. I could totally dig it.
And Alfred, I don't even know if I mentioned him, but yes.
I just assumed he was on the list. I didn't even listen that closely.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, oh man, I love Barnes too. Like when he picks up the phone and just goes, speak.
Yeah. I chuckled. I'm like, man, I love characters that just say speak. I do.
Yeah. What did Alfred call Edward? Windus?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
He says to, like, Edward starts laughing, and they're like, what, do you know something about where Jim Gordon is? And Alfred just steps up to Edward and goes, start speaking, Windus, or something.
I don't know.
I don't know exactly what he said.
It was too British for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was weird.
Feel free to explain that to us. Made me laugh. Anyone, because I'd love to know, and I'm sure it's a great joke.
Anyone.
Hey, I caught Treacle. Fill me in on the rest. Did you get a little chuckle out of like, well, you could be a Martian in a rubber suit? And I kind of thought, maybe one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't know if they were going to get into aliens in a show like Gotham. I think we talked about a lot over the summer what we think they were going to do, and we think they're going to say terrestrial for the most part, and again, mm-hmm. for the most part, not truly metahuman. They're going to do altered human a lot. Something yeah. happened to somebody and stuff like that, but not...
I truly, truly hope that they get into some alien shit, some Earth 2, Earth 3, Earth 4, 5, and 6, all the way to 52.
I know. I mean, you're hoping there's like an Earth 3 where Barry Allen hops on. Great. But
personally, I don't even need it on Gotham. I could stand to see it on Legends of Tomorrow. Just have them kind of pop in and have Rip Hunter tell Gordon, "You watch that boy very carefully."
Oh, that would make me so happy. Never gonna happen.
Don't say never, man. Don't say never.
Yeah, okay.
And if you guys want to know why I say that, wait. Just listen to our news segment this week.
Right. I know what he's talking about.
And you don't. Well, you probably do.
I'm willing to bet they do. They're just going, yeah, me too, bitch. Yeah, see you there.
Yeah. So, gosh. I actually laughed when our Hateful Eight, I guess I'll call them, mm-hmm. are storming Gallivan's home. And they're all, like, running in, and, like, Penguin is just, like, right in the middle, just flailing and flopping. I don't know why, but that made me laugh really hard.
He doesn't have a smooth gait. I'm sorry.
He doesn't have a smooth gait. And yet, he was still making it, and Bullock is behind.
Yeah, Bullock's back there.
Damn, that's a lot of stairs. Fire.
He really was, man. He does like, the whole Ghostbusters bit. I loved it. And I'm sorry. I'm ruined for the rest of my life. Every time I see a shot of that, where the shot is meant to express, oh my God, look at all the stairs. I hear the theme music every time.
That's fair.
Not even that. I hear the score from that moment of the movie every time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Selena too. Selena. Oh man. Like, I'm serious. Like, they could be like an Ocean 11 type movie.
You're really upping your number on the bad whatever or whatever we're at now.
The Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight. Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna have to.
Yeah, I don't. That's the title of a Quentin Tarantino movie that's coming out at some point. That's been talked about for years, but it's like a Western. But just, it's a great title. I know I'm not gonna like the movie because it's Quentin Tarantino, but it's a great title.
I even like the title less now, having associated it. But that's on me.
You.
Now, I mean, you're gonna end up adding too many people and needing to alliterate another number anyway. So don't get too attached to Hateful Eight.
Nah, I don't know. Let's just make it simple. The Gotham Gaggle.
That would be great. It was in the last episode, right? That was the last episode where Barnes like calls him on it, and he's about to get onto him for breaking his assignment, and he says like, "Well, it turns out those guys were attached to the Orders of Saint Germain." He asks him like, "Does the universe normally love you this much?" And Jim has a smile that I actually kind of like every now and then. He breaks it out mm-hmm. once every few episodes where it's this real charming. He's actually enjoying himself maybe for a moment. Mm-hmm. Just first time. It really is like every time he actually bothers to stop and tell a joke or something.
Yeah. By the way, if we add Bruce, mm-hmm. it is 8 exactly.
Oh, you've been mapping it out now?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Yeah. Unless I've forgotten somebody, which is entirely possible.
I'm sure we can add more. I bet we'll be able to add more.
I just
want to
see Alfred I want to see Alfred the series. I do.
I'd take an entire series about his MI3 shit, man. I'd go back for that.
Right.
Apparently he used to be part of the team that was sent in when you needed something taken care of and you needed to be able to deny it.
I know what Bruce and Alfred's spinoff series is called.
Oh God.
The Kid and Kipper.
Coming to screens in fall of 2017.
Kid and Kipper.
If we have to make it ourselves, you'll get it.
That feels like a photo manipulation that's going to wind up on Imgur here and by the end of the night.
Right. Can feel it.
Yep. Coming in the air tonight.
Over the last couple episodes in this season, like, how much are you loving Selena right now?
I'm digging her.
I mean, she really hadn't had a drop-off
moment
for me, but... Man, they finally...
I am a little worried about her.
Why? She has friends again.
I don't know how old she is, but I don't think she's grown any. And if David Mazouz winds up being like, I don't know. I mean, he's shot up in tallness there. So I don't know. I'm just a little worried this girl is going to be like, well, you know, hell, like any of the girls on Modern Family. Like, they just get to about 14 and they don't grow any taller.
Well,
that's going to be real weird for Catwoman.
That may be a real thing. I've looked into it. And by that, I mean, I typed in exactly three words and the internet gave it to me. 14 years for mm-hmm. David Mazouz and Cameron Bakanduba, 16 years.
Mm-hmm. So she's 16. She's not growing anymore.
Not a lot, no. Traditionally, she's probably hit within a couple inches of where she'll finish, which means Bruce, he's 14. God, yeah, like, you know, you're 14. You really, as a male, you grow till like 19. I mean, don't get me wrong. You grow, women tend to grow earlier and then it drops off, whereas men wait a second and then do everything it fucking wants, like we run our lives.
That is like we run it. That is really funny. Yeah. We do that.
Yeah. We're terrible. Please date us anyway.
We wait until the last second. We wait until the last second.
We're like, oh yeah,
we need that pressure.
How fast can I do this? I'm sorry, I started reading comics. I completely forgot. What did I miss?
It's like, I just saw you yesterday. When the hell did you grow a mustache? I didn't realize the time. Sorry.
Back in the day, it was like, I just got a copy of Hush last night. I'm sorry. It was a very long evening. But I got some pictures to show you.
So, yeah. I'm a little worried about her. I mean, she's doing a fine job, but, you know, any real romance between those two is going to be real weird on the show if she doesn't grow at all.
Nah.
From here on. Nah, it's just going to seem kind of odd. Like,
they're going to be about right. I think the casting people probably had this right. Because think back to last season, and he was like 2 or 3 inches shorter than her, I feel like. Maybe I'm misremembering that.
Yeah, I think so. I want to say that's true, yeah.
But it feels like she was about 3. So he's only going to be, and I'm just guessing again, like another 3 inches taller than her. I think they'll look fine on screen together.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
I don't know.
She's not
he still
look
seems
like,
really way shorter than Alfred.
I don't know. I would need someone to, like, show me a real clear shot where I had an angle. Think about it even. When they're shooting at the mansion at Wayne Manor, they actually do use a lot of up and down angle shots. It's a little hard to tell.
Yeah. Well, like tonight when they were walking through that, through the parking garage, like he was, maybe I'm misremembering it or something. Maybe it's just me remembering it as I envisioned it from season one, but I want to say he was still like a foot shorter than Alfred.
He probably was.
And I feel like he should be like, by the end of this,
actually,
he should be like
the same internet,
you know,
the same three words. Have managed a small bio on the right side of my screen. His height currently is 5'1".
Yeah.
I don't remember, but I think average height of males is about 5'9", 5'9 and a half.
Yeah.
Can't recall on that one. Maybe 5'10". So,
I mean, I'm you know, I try to be fair about it because I'm like 6'4".
Yeah.
So
yeah, we all look tiny to you.
Yeah. You're all ants.
I have no quarrel with you.
I'm like, since when were adults first graders?
I can hide things on shelves you'll never understand.
When they are walking through the parking garage, I loved when Bruce was like, whatever he said, where he was like, thank you both, but I had a perfectly feasible escape plan.
Right.
Or whatever it was. He was just a little badass.
It was like, thank you both for your assistance, but you should know I had a feasible escape plan or something like that. I don't know. They both kind of look at each other like they want to kind of laugh him off, but he might actually have had one. Like, they can't rule it out.
Yeah.
I do love that. Like, that's how they're going to walk off into the distance. Bruce just leading the way.
I actually wrote down, ah, the dismissiveness that would later scar several a Robin.
Be careful now. You're going to start creating red hoods and whatnot.
Just be genuinely grateful for a second, Bruce. Damn it.
Right?
You snotty little bastard.
Right?
Oh. I love Lucius Fox. on this show. Yeah. He's awesome.
I was glad they finally got him involved a little bit. I hadn't seen much. And by the way, the thing that he says that we never get to revisit, really. He comes in saying, hey guys, I fixed the hard drive.
Yeah, he does.
That's whatever awesome. It is they needed to know, he's got it. He's got it. And now you have to wait till, what was it, February?
Yep, that's monumentally cruel.
Oh, not even February. February 29th is when they currently have the Gotham Return slated. Yeah, so yeah. March. Like you'll already have gotten in trouble for ruining Valentine's Day and like be out of trouble again by the time you see another fucking Gotham.
Ruining Valentine's Day.
I just assume one of us will, because what are the odds that both of us get through it unscathed? And I'd rather it be you.
Well, you would rather it be me, right? But it has never been me, and it has always been you. Well,
then
so.
The law of averages are on my side this time, right?
No, absolutely not. I may be a comic book geek, but I'm a romantic dammit.
I mean, come on, man. I just put a ring on that. Surely I'm okay for a couple months.
Yeah.
Actually,
well,
that will be about the couple of months part where I've got to.
No. It'll be long enough to where it's like, seriously? You are my fiance and you can't remember Valentine's Day? It's going to come back to bite you by that time.
Like, yeah. No, I'll be off my game. I won't be, I'll get too complacent. So yeah, it'll be me. It'll be me. A man can dream, though. Come on.
Why would you wish that on me?
Nothing personal. It's just me or you, buddy.
Yeah. I'm good.
Sorry, Bethany.
Last year, I don't even think, like, me and Bethany, like, we're just extraordinarily busy pretty much from, well, Thanksgiving to, like, when things start to get warm again. So, I think last year this is how late we were on everything. We kind of usually just push everything back to whenever we can really get a good grip on it. So, it's usually, like, last year I gave her Easter presents with her Valentine's Day, Christmas, and birthday presents. Like, we just pushed it all back to, like, the spring.
That's a good enough strategy.
It is, because we both have pretty big families and places to go and a lot of stuff to do. Like, there are, like, I don't know, 150 birthdays in December in my family. So, I say that, it's more like 5, but, oh, man.
Yeah, like, you kind of just, you know, you get around to it when you can or finally feel like it. Like, for instance, the time when we get back to talking about Gotham.
Yeah.
You know,
it's all willy-nilly.
We wander back, you know.
We're building friendships with our listeners. They're going to know stuff about our lives.
That, yeah, okay.
I'm a Libra.
I don't even know what I am. I really don't. I wouldn't know how to tell you.
That's the funny thing. I don't care that I'm a Libra. I don't believe in any of that horoscope crap. I'm a Libra.
I think I'm a Leo. I want to say Leo. I don't know, and I'm sure if I read the description, it'll perfectly describe me somehow. But I'm almost sure if you blindfold somebody and show them the other 11 descriptions, you're like, oh my god, it's me. Yeah,
that's the truth, man. It says here you want to be successful. Wow,
I want to be successful. It says here you have two arms and two legs, and there's like that portion of amputees going, oh, I must not be this month.
Yeah. So, okay, so how much did you love when Bruce just like talked down the old dude with the knife? Like, whatever his name is, Father whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The old monk.
Yeah, you're a delusional old man, and I forget what else he says.
Did he say that? I thought he said you're a delusional old fool.
Fool, yeah,
and you
fool.
And you will pay for this. Like, right. Oh, man. Like,
no flinching either.
Father monk with a knife, how are you going to cut his throat if you, I mean, you? How can you see past his sack? Because it's just all right there.
Yeah.
You show me a 14-year-old kid who says that in the face of death.
Right.
I show you a Batman.
Right.
And I do enjoy that they really have. It seems like they've really embraced that, even from the beginning. They're like, look, yes, he's like a 13-year-old kid, whatever. But this is a kid that's going to grow up to be Batman. So, like, after that first episode, like, I don't really see much tears in the way of Bruce. Like, In Batman Begins, for instance, with Nolan, like, all that kid did was cry. 6 months later, he wouldn't get out of bed. He's weeping. This kid would, like, just stare the Batman Begins kid into oblivion. Like, that kid would lose his mind. And, like, sink deep into the abyss of his own mind just staring at the Gotham Bruce.
Right.
Like, oh, man.
He just kind of, I'm not worthy. Like, he just, that ends with, like, him kneeling and kind of bowing his head.
Yeah.
And totally aren't. Again, you know, I know we've had some problems with the show. We're not all on great terms. But, come on, dude. They've never messed that up. They've never messed up the baby bat. And the times where we really, the episodes that we end up, if you just really do some analytics on us, the episodes we like the least are the ones with the least amount of Bruce and Alfred screen time.
That probably is true.
I really think it is. I mean, like I said on the last episode, we really also enjoy the ones where Alfred gets a gun in his hand, because hell yes. But
that is odd, because most of like the reviews and stuff that I've read online are people complaining that there's too much baby Batman and Alfred.
I
just not what the show's about, and I'm like, it is now.
Right. I don't know.
Thank God.
Look, as any human within the other human, you don't always know how to relate to those people, and that's a brick wall for me. I don't understand how that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
No judgment to it. Just don't fucking understand. Bring me all the baby bat. On a giant heaping plate, I'll tuck in.
And you know what? This is something that I've... Man, I mean, people always bring this up. Like, they did it with this. They did it with, like, the new Star Trek show. Sorry, not the new show. The new movies that J.J. Abrams did. The new 90210. They just do it all the time. Is, like, whenever there's, like, a new version of something with younger characters, they always call it, like, whatever babies. Like, Muppet babies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, oh, Batman babies. I'm like, why do you say that in, like, a pejorative sense? Like, Muppet Babies was delightful.
I loved Tiny Toons, by the way.
Tiny Toons was another delightful
absolutely
show.
Absolutely good.
I love Tiny Toons. I love Muppet Babies. What is your qualm here, people?
Every iteration of Teen Titans?
Right?
That has never ended poorly.
Well, there is Teen Titans Go.
Screw it. Lump them in. It's never ended poorly. I'll stand by it. Whatever.
I wasn't going to mention Teen Titans Go. But there it was. I mean, I...
You made it this far.
It's bad. But yeah, so anyway. And that's pretty much everything I have on this episode. Mr. Freeze, I don't know what... I don't know even... No, you know what? I have more. Freaking... All right, so Jim goes to Leslie... Uh-huh. And you can see it on her face. She already knows. Like, when he keeps looking back at her, she's like, ah. We're not going to go off and run away together.
She's already changed seats by the time he's on the way back to the car. Like, before he's turned around, she's already, like, moving.
Yeah. And, like, all he has to say, he doesn't say, I'm sorry. He doesn't say, you know, something's come up. He just goes, Galavan has Bruce. And she says, I understand.
Right. Like, as much as she hates him for that, because this is, and it's a hard thing. It's got to be a hard thing. Because she's going to have her own child now, and she really would kill him again if she could find him, if he got himself dead before he could contribute to that. But same time, you know, do you want to marry a man who will leave Bruce Wayne, the young boy, behind? Tough call, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, she didn't fall in love with the kind of guy that was going to leave a kid kidnapped with a death sentence. No, not the person. And you know what he's going to get in reward for all that? Psychopathic child.
Yeah. Most likely. And he'll probably wind up with Barbara. You can't tell me. She's in critical condition. She's not dead. And also, that idiot was dreaming of her. She had butterflies coming out of her friggin' mouth.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about.
I'll tell you what that's about. Things aren't going to end well with him and Leslie. He's going to wind up being with Barbara.
I'm hoping the metaphor was that the Barbara that fell was the cocoon, and whatever was coming out of it is to remains to be seen.
Maybe
it'll be something better. Maybe the writers are like, we get it, look at the butterfly.
Or maybe she'll just be like a weird, like, angry, baggy eyed straight haired man hater like she was in Frank Miller's stuff. Like Frank Miller did, he painted her to be like the worst, like one of the worst characters I've ever seen. Just the least understanding person in Jim Gordon's life, and that includes Commissioner Loeb in there. And
right.
It was like Frank Miller's going, here, I'm going to justify Jim Gordon cheating. Well, no, that didn't really work, buddy.
It didn't.
Thank you, Frank Miller.
For one moment, I saw the butterfly, and I kind of thought, maybe they'll make her the Monarch from Venture Brothers.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't be worse.
I'm going to be bringing up the Monarch here. And it's not the one from the Venture Brothers, by God. But in the news segment, in our news episode, we're going to be talking about a character named the Monarch just a little bit.
Just a bit. I had we started the show with me griping about things. You want to sandwich it with me griping about two more things?
Go for it.
Maybe I just didn't have, I don't know, maybe I wasn't paying attention. When he goes to, like, when Gallivan goes to strangle Silver, did that just look really awkward?
Yeah, of course it did, but it was Theo Gallivan. Everything looks awkward.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Especially when he's got Silver there.
Yeah, he's just stomach full of scenery the entire time. I get it. But it really, like, I looked at it and I swear I thought Bela Lugosi Plan 9 from Outer Space.
That's kind of perfect, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do. By the way, when she was in that prison with Bruce and she said, I've done such bad things you can't even imagine or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and blame the show on this, mm-hmm. but the first thing I thought was incest.
They did not leave me the rope I needed to leave that out, no. And,
like, she hasn't seemed formidable enough to actually, like, kill a whole bunch of people. She's no Tabitha by any means, but I...
No. But I assume she's getting trained a little bit. Maybe they, like, pulled a Theo with her, you know, put her some sacrificial lambs up there to, you know, break her in.
But as creepy as... As creepy as Tabitha and Theo have been, I have to imagine they both had her in bed. Maybe even with Barbara.
I don't want to, but sadly, the show didn't leave me much choice.
Yeah, so... I could have not dealt with that line. That line could have not been there at all, and I would have been good.
Yeah, sent you down dark paths.
Thank you very much, Bruno Heller.
I was really hoping that it would be more murderous, but I also kind of slightly resented that the show just told us she's been... really bad person, and didn't actually show us a little bit of something. Maybe one flashback scene. Right. She's doing a little bit of stabbing.
If that stuff was what I suspected it was, I'm glad they didn't show a flashback of it.
Well, yeah. Hell, I could have done without your version of the flashback. 100, man. I could have lived with the rest of my life without any expounding.
Yeah. But, you know, she lived. What did you think of that? Of, like, Tabitha and Silver, like, taking down Gallivan?
I guess I won't end straight with me bitching about two things. We'll sandwich that even with, insubordinate Tabitha is, like, infinitely cooler than weird Tabitha.
Yeah, agreed.
I can deal with her on the show for as long as she wants to stay. I didn't like the, first half of this half. You know, yes, brother, who would you like me to kill next? Whatever stuff. That was.
Yeah, but they kept giving her the scenes where she was kind of like hanging back and watching them and giving them looks. So you're just like, eh, yep, she's kind of insubordinate. And just like in the, they really don't give you a whole lot to go on here.
No.
But just like when they're in that party and she says that her brother's really good in the sack or whatever it was, like, that was clear insubordination. Like, obviously he wouldn't want that to be said in front of people.
He didn't, and but he seemed to enjoy her churlish ways until roughly this time in the season, and it got down to, you know, it was game time, and he wasn't really enjoying that anymore. But yeah,
unfortunately, I still can't stop seeing Darren Stevens whenever he's on screen.
You'll have to try.
Nope.
You'll have to try.
It's just Darren from Bewitched all over the place.
I feel you. The other thing I wanted to bitch about. It's not even all that bitching. I just thought it was hilarious.
Okay.
Alfred's like running through this trash yard, whatever the word, landfill, whatever. Heap of compost, whatever the hell this is. He's running through. And by the way, I guess the guys didn't run the compactor the entire, like, he caught him on the end of the route. She just kind of ran back home with it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's running through this place, and behind him, you can see the guy running the caterpillar. I don't know. I'll call it that for lack of a better word, because I know not what that thingy with the arm does and is. But I think it's scoop. I mean, I'm sure it scoops things, but whatever the hell it's called is beyond me. But the guy's just back there doing his job, you know, moving trash from here to there. Dude's
can
running.
Can we call it the Super Scoopa?
The Super Scoopa. Makes it even better. But he's back there just doing his job while Alfred's running around.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, maybe you can ignore the dude running through the landfill with already trussed up clothing. Okay. But then the three people with guns come by, and he's just like, yep, another day in Gotham. Making my paycheck, though.
Yeah, that is exactly what I thought. Like, I was just glad they didn't actually go out of their way to say it this time.
Right.
Because every time they've done something stupid or ridiculous like that, they've always had some character pop up and hang a lantern on by going, this is Gotham. Like, yeah, okay. You know what? It's a landfill, and there's a guy obviously running away from some gangsters.
Right.
That is the most Gotham thing that I could have thought of.
He's just back there. Nope. Going to do my job. Probably not going to die today. Going home to my kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's Chuck over there running the Super Scooper. He knows better.
Chuck doesn't get bothered by anything. Found three bodies last week. Man didn't miss a lunch break.
Chuck gets bothered by... Chuck only gets angry or upset when his beer's warm.
Right. He's going to win the office betting pool for how many people he sees with guns in the landfill. He's like marking it down. Three. Hell yeah, I'm ahead of Fred. I'm going to win that hundy. I'm going to win that hundy.
So, the last bit of the episode is Indian Hill, man. And, yep. Save for Mr. Freeze, which we've already discussed right up front. The last bit is pretty much them wheeling Theo Gallivan into Indian Hill, and they're like, oh, good, well, Professor Strange has particularly high hopes for this one.
Right.
And he's got a freaking umbrella shoved down his throat.
Oh, great shot with the
shoved
umbrella.
An umbrella. Yeah, Penguin shoved an umbrella down his dead gullet.
Right. And the little shot of, like, you see it in the background when they're doing all the dramatic slow stuff with, Gordon pocketing his gun and walking away. You see him in the background grabbing the umbrella and almost sizing it up like, yep, mm-hmm. This'll do.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ram this down his throat. Good day.
Yeah. Dude, I loved all of that. I love that Gordon let Penguin beat Theo until he begged to die.
I even love that, like, Penguin doesn't put up a fight about stopping. He's like, yeah, you're right. Okay, I got my swings in.
I loved every part of the whole, of the Penguin-Gordon dynamic. I loved that Gordon is not even really wrestling with his morality anymore. He's just kind of willing to do what he needs to do.
Right. What does Penguin say? Like, he knocks out Barnes. They storm the room. They knock out Barnes, and by the way, the most nervous looking cop I've ever seen in my life. They knock him out. He says something like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Just everyone, guns down. We're all friends here." And like Gordon like looks at Barnes. He's like, "Okay, except that." I forget what he said, but
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, it was good, whatever it was. Sorry, we just watched it.
I know. But we've talked about so much other stuff.
Yeah. Hey. We'll go back and rewatch. But enjoyed that little speech you gave. Really did.
Yeah.
You know,
what's sad is I will go back and watch it. I will go back
absolutely
and watch
I will.
It.
We'll have a few weeks.
And
we'll
I mean,
a few weeks to kind of
yeah,
revamp.
We're going to have a few weeks. I'm gonna need to get in some of my Gotham here.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we seem to hate it. We can't give it up.
Now I have a plan. If I have time over the break of new episodes, I'm going to go back and rewatch and just be like, all right, I'm going to start from scratch. No expectations, no hopes, no fears. I'm just going to watch this show and see if it changes at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It might actually be a lot better in marathon form, to be honest. I've thought that a few times this year.
It might be. Personally, I think most things are better in marathon form.
It's about right though.
Sometimes. I mean, sometimes if something's really complex, it doesn't really fit like that. I don't know. I guess it depends on the show, really. It does. But I do not foresee good things for Lee and Gordon. Marriage be damned.
Mm-mm. I don't.
So anyway. As far as Gotham goes, we might actually be having Matt Carroll from the MCU cast come on, and he kind of wanted to do. He mentioned on the MCU cast he wanted to do a an episode with us where he defends Gotham because he loves it and he thinks we're way too hard on it. So
well, yeah, like I've
we might be doing that.
Hell, the fiance has done the same thing to me. I'll be walking through a room muttering about Barbara or something, just like, hey, I like her. Why? I don't know. She's not going to dig in with me and try to suss that out. Just stating her point. But she's with Matt. She likes Gotham a whole hell of a lot more than I do, at least on most episodes. But again,
it
comes and it goes. Like on the episodes like the last couple where I'm going, yes, this is the show that I wanted. You know, she's not as excited. Basically, I'm bipolar when it comes to Gotham, and she's just trailing along. Yep, I like it.
Right.
It's binary. Good.
Right. It is. I think it's a thing where we both have certain triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have gorged ourselves on television to the point where we recognize tropes before they even happen. And
which is not an uncommon trait in Americana these days.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I assume a lot of our listeners, really, as we're describing it, are like, yep, totally saw that coming too. You know?
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of people, even people who are not, mostly people who wouldn't even be bothered to listen to a podcast,
mm-hmm.
to even go that deep with a TV show, just like to watch a show. Because most of the time when someone's like, oh, I just stopped watching that, I'm like, oh yeah, why? And they're like, I don't know. It just wasn't very good anymore. I'm like, why? I don't know. You don't know? They just can't be bothered to even consider why it's not good anymore, or what they don't like anymore.
The kind of analysis that we've sat around doing, it's not worth it to more functional human beings.
Why are we the dysfunctional ones?
I don't know.
Why,
I mean,
why is that your point?
I'm just thinking, whatever trait it is that makes us sit back and analyze narrative like this is probably the same one that would have gotten us killed in the Serengeti. I'm not sure how I made it here.
No, that's a good point.
Not sure how my ancestors survived if they gave me this trait.
Why did the cheetah eat the gazelle that way?
Right.
That has to be foreshadowing for, oh my God, no! Oh!
How did we even make it? Did you notice the stripes on that lion? They were really... Oh, that was a tiger? Yeah, did you notice the stripes on that tiger? Man, I really should have caught that before. It really plays with the symbolism of how the blood on the... Oh my God, that's my leg.
Yeah, I mean, we're too busy pointing out Chekhov's gun to realize that we're about to be shot by it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Bless the modern world.
I'm going to wrap up this episode.
It was fittingly long. It's Gotham's finale. Let's hang out with it for a minute.
It's Gotham's finale.
Let it simmer.
I do imagine hugging goodbye to you know, hugging Jim Gordon goodbye. I imagine he smells musky.
No, he's an original Old Spice guy. Not.
I was gonna say Stetson.
Stetson. Okay.
He's right. Cowboy.
I can deal with
cowboy.
That. I can deal with that.
It's cowboy.
Maybe some Joe Van Musk.
Yeah.
Depending on where his paycheck got him that week.
And of course, just being in the proximity of Jim Gordon, I'd have to actually get a little Gotham myself, get a little worse than I actually am. Like as I'm hugging Gordon, taking in the aroma of the Stetson, I'm winking at Lee. No way, like over his shoulder, like winking at Lee. Like, yeah, what's up?
I was thinking you were gonna say you would have trouble actually hugging him, like you'd have trouble leaning out and stretching your arms over his giant ball sack in order to actually hug him.
No, because everyone knows that men of that stature, when they're in close proximity to another male, their ball sack retracts.
No, that really is. That's probably the answer to the Gotham problem. It's on an island, right? So you just kind of flush the city. You absolutely flush it. You have to have everyone, you evacuate it, and everyone has to reapply mm-hmm. to be readmitted to the city. And you have mm-hmm. you cut it down to two bridges, and at the entrance to both bridges, you just like sit Gordon and Bruce's balls and say, now you pass the application or you have to get through these things. City protected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Either that, or they can employ Jim Gordon and Bruce Wayne as fairies. They're just floating along, carrying cars on their ball sacks, just in case a Dark Knight Rises situation would occur.
Right,
where the bridges are blown, and
not to speak ill of Bullock's balls, just you know.
Well, he would be floating as a fairy as well, but it would just be his gut that's holding him up. And they look over, and he goes, sure are a lot of stairs.
Oh, God, I love that line so much. God, I love that line. I would beg the writers one more time, as much Bullock as you can get away with, man. Just bring it. Just bring it.
Sure, sure. All right, I'm calling it, man. We are DC On Screen, and we enjoyed this episode kind of a whole hell of a lot.
Kind of a whole hell of a lot,
Despite what, you know, we thought at the beginning about Jason not liking it, it seemed like he kind of liked it more than he really let on.
Right.
So,
you know, I'm willing to even out argue myself. I just had a couple of points. Whatever. Fuck, I'm over it. I liked it. Fuck me.
Just...
I'm not going to try to hold out here. I enjoy it.
All right. Yeah, it was good. So you can find us, if you enjoyed this episode and you want to help us out, go check us out on iTunes and Stitcher and leave us 5-star ratings or a good review. All of that is really helpful in the standings and the algorithms and all that bullshit that we have to deal with.
To get
or
out
you can
there.
Find every episode on DCOnScreen.com. What?
It's bullshit. It's a lot of stuff to do to get your name out there and get people, you know, hopping in with you.
It is.
It requires a little bit of help. It does.
Yeah.
We can't create enough fake IDs to do it ourselves.
We get by with a little help from our friends. We get high in the rankings with a little help from our friends. We're going to try with a little help from our friends. Anyway, if you would like a similar podcast about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, go check out our buddies Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall at the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. MCUcast.com is where you can find those guys. We are both part of the Giant Size Team Up Network. And until the next episode, which is going to be, well, a news episode, I imagine.
Nope.
This big news episode.
Sneaking a Supergirl.
Yeah, I was going to not mention that because that was the middle episode.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
Anyway, I'm probably not going to edit that out.
Suck it.
Until we have another episode up, it should be now. Keep some DC on your screen.